There's a word from the Lord, y'all. There's a word from the Lord. Mark chapter 8, y'all, verse 34. Mark chapter 8, verse 34. I'll read from the New Living Translation of the Bible. Amen. Mark chapter 8, verse 34. Let me read it real quick, y'all. Let it marinate. This is Jesus speaking. Then calling the crowd to join his disciples, he said, "If any of you wants to be my follower, you must turn from your selfish ways, take up your cross, and follow me." If any one of you wants to be my follower, you must turn from your selfish ways, take up your cross, and follow me. I want to encourage our hearts this morning from the thought, this is not a game. This is not a game. So as we all know, in the next several hours, later on this evening, that there's going to be a game. The two teams will clash. They will compete for the NFL championship. Super Bowl. Hey, baby, how you doing? God bless you. Glad you're here. Glad you're here. Super Bowl 59. And a lot of us refer to it as what? The big game. Some 70,000 people, y'all, will crowd the Caesars Superdome in New Orleans, Louisiana. I'm sorry, the Saints won't be in the game. They'll be at home watching. Yeah, just like the Cowboys, too. Just like the Cowboys, too. That people will crowd the dome, y'all. Tickets will sell at some $4,000 to $5,000 per ticket. Some 200 million people will be glued to their big screen television sets to watch the game. 48 million people will order out. They will have food delivered to their home. Pizza will be the number one delivery item this evening, y'all. Listen to this. Some 1.4 billion chicken wings, y'all. Well, I didn't say million. 1.4 billion chicken wings will be sold, y'all. And I got mine. I got my order in, too. Yeah. Let's have a moment of silence for the chicken. Y'all, a lot of us are waiting on those hilarious advertisements. Their sponsors will pay y'all some $8 million for 30 seconds of time on the television. And some of us are going to wait for that halftime show where Kendrick Lamar, anybody know Kendrick? Kendrick. Oh, y'all ashamed to say it. I got loyalty in my DNA. Yeah, yeah, some of y'all know Kendrick. But y'all, listen, with all of the pomp and circumstance and the grandeur and all of the Super Bowl, listen, I might offend somebody when I say this, but it's the truth that the Super Bowl, y'all, is still just a game. Many of us from childhood, we love the game, y'all. Pee Wee football. In my neighborhood, we would gather at the neighborhood schoolyard and we would play football, y'all. They had a basketball court. We played basketball. Some of y'all were in athletics in junior high school and in high school. You love the game, y'all. The excitement, y'all. The adrenaline would flow. We love the game. And even when it comes to playing on the field of life, the life with God, y'all, listen, we can enjoy it. It's exciting. But listen, life with God, and living life for God, it is not a game. The stakes are simply too high. That it's about eternity and, well, you will spend the rest of your life when you leave. This is not a game. That the consequences are enormous and the outcome is anything but trivial. And so no wonder it is God invites us, you and me, the privilege of paying the price of living a life of serving him. And that life is all about eternal life. Living for Christ comes with a price. Y'all, it's not a game. Do you know that this morning? That I'm glad we got some folk in the house that you don't play with God. That you don't play with your relationship with God. That you don't play with the Word of God. That you don't play on one side of the fence or the other side of the fence, that you're straight for God and for the things of God, that you know that it's not a game, that you don't live a double life, you don't straddle the fence, that Sunday after Sunday you show up to worship God, that you didn't come here to play this morning. You came here to worship God and to worship him only, to worship him in spirit and in truth, because you realize your relationship with the Lord is not a game. It's for real. So you're as serious as a chicken that's running on a Super Bowl Sunday for his life, that you're running for your life because you know your life in Christ is a serious thing. So in our text for today, it's the gospel writer Mark that paints us the picture of a Jesus that's on the move. That it's not like Matthew or Luke that Mark didn't talk about the genealogy of Christ, but really talk about the birth story of Christ. That he goes from his baptism and he goes straight into Jesus' public ministry. That in the book of Mark, we find Jesus confronting demons, that he's healing a leper, that he's healing and forgiving people of their sins, that he heals a paralyzed man. Y'all know that story where this paralyzed man, where his friends, they tore the roof off a house, off the house. And they let the man down in, and Jesus healed the man. But one of the key verses of the book of Mark, the gospel of Mark, is this. Chapter 10, verse 45, where Jesus said this. For even the Son of Man came not to be served, but to serve others and to give his life as a ransom for many. He came to die for you and for me. Y'all ought to be glad about that today. That's shout news right there, that he came to die for your sins and my sins. And we thank God for it. So the text this morning, we find that Jesus is predicting his death, that he's telling his disciples, y'all, I got to get up out of here. I got to leave. Before that, he says to them, who do you say that I, the Son of Man, am? Right. And some said, maybe you Elijah, you one of those great prophets, maybe you John the Baptist. That's what they say out there. But who do you say that Jesus is? Yeah. I'm talking to you right now. Who do you say that he is? And Peter said, you are the Son of God.
Yes.
That you are the Messiah.
Yes.
That you are the anointed one. That you are the Christ. And Jesus flips the script and said, okay, yeah, you got it right. You got it. But guess what? I'm getting out of here. I'm leaving here, y'all. I got to die. But 3 days later, I'm going to get back up. Yeah. And there's an old for he gets back up with all power in his hands.
Yes,
but it's kind of hard for them to handle. How is it that their star quarterback, their star player, would dare say that he was going to leave? What was not he the Messiah, the one that was called to overthrow the Roman government, to save them from the Jews from oppression? Was not he the one? So I can imagine the disciples say, what you talking about, Jesus? Where are you going? You can't go nowhere. You the one. You the anointed one. You are the Christ. You're the Messiah. You can't go nowhere. And Peter dares to reprimand Jesus. What did Jesus say to Peter? Get thee behind me, Satan. Because you're not mindful of the things of God. That Jesus understood his assignment.
Yes.
He understood his purpose.
Yes.
That he came to die for the sins of the world. He came to pay the ultimate price of his life for the sins of you and me. So why is life, especially life with God, why is it not a game? I think the text answers that question for us. But ask yourself that question for a minute. Why is your service to God in your heart, in your motivation, why is it not a game to you? Again, Jesus gives us the answer. He provides the answer in the text. But do you have the answer in your heart? Or is it possible? I'm not saying it's true, and I hope it's not true, that for some of us, maybe someone listening in, maybe for too long, maybe it's been maybe just a game. But the reality is, it's not a game. That Jesus is telling his disciples and us, listen, the true price of discipleship, what it looks like, salvation costs his life, and we're called to give up our lives for him, for we are crucified with Christ.
Yes.
Nevertheless, we live, not us, but as Christ is living on the inside of us, Galatians 2 and 20. So to follow Jesus is to follow him. It means that we don't see discipleship as some type of a game where we make up our own rules as to how we'll live this thing.
Come on.
How we'll walk out this walk and how we'll talk. That it's not a game. That when we don't like a thing, listen, we'll take our ball and we're going to go home because we don't like the way they do it over there. That your life in Christ, my life in Christ, it's not a game. So Jesus said being his follower requires, first of all, yes, it's not a game. And why it's so serious, it requires total self-denial. Jesus said you must turn from your selfishness or deny yourself. The Greek word for deny, it really means to refuse to be thinking about yourself all the time. It's the picture of complete denial of one's desires and wishes when it comes to serving Christ. It means rejecting the natural human inclination towards selfishness. I know that may hurt somebody's feelings, that really we have this natural human inclination towards selfishness. That we want life our way. We want life on our terms. We want to do it the way we want to do it. But Jesus exemplified self-denial in John chapter 13 where he stoops down. This is God in the flesh. And he washes the disciples' feet. That he shows total self-denial when he dies on Calvary's cross for you and for me.
Yeah.
The question remains to us today. Are we willing to give up our own rights for the cause of the kingdom of Christ? Do we believe in total self-denial? Today, y'all, self-denial for a lot of, it's a bad word, y'all. Especially in American society, we some of the most privileged people that you ever want to meet. Y'all, that we just know we deserve it. I work hard for it. I deserve the good things that I have in my life. That we some mani-pedi, mocha latte with the foam, Uber Eden, you know, creature comfort living folk, y'all. That's just us today. That's the society we live in. And our children are blessed like never before. They got all the latest gadgets. They got all the latest clothes. They got all the latest stuff. They got it all, y'all, that they are blessed. And there's nothing wrong with being blessed, y'all. There's nothing wrong with having nice things. But you can have Gucci and still share the gospel of Jesus Christ, can't you? You can be a little bit bougie, but still tell people you blessed and you know you blessed. You know where your blessings come from, that they come from God. Y'all looking at me strange right now. That we are a blessed people, that God has done great things for us. But is it okay every once in a while, y'all, if we give up a meal or two, if we break away from Popeyes and we spend some time in prayer and fasting with God, some self-denial and allow him to speak to us? Total self-denial. Denying yourself includes overcoming the persistent fleshly demands of the body, also known as the carnal self, the natural man, and bringing everything into submission to God and to the obedience of Jesus Christ. Listen, it might mean sometimes you have to tell Tyrone, you got to stay at home, self-denial.
Okay.
That, listen, the Playboy Channel don't play in this house. That Crown and tequila, listen, that can't be my everyday beverage. It can't be. Listen, you got to give up some stuff. Y'all get quiet on me today. I got all these sanctified, Holy Ghost filled, you know, halo wearing saints in the house today. God bless your soul today. The goal of self-denial is to be more like Jesus. It's to be sanctified and to be holy, to represent him well. Y'all, listen, self-denial is a daily exercise in the life of a believer. Ever since the day Jesus saved you, ever since the day he saved me, I ought to practice self-denial, giving up some things for the cause of Christ, for the cause of the gospel, for the cause of the kingdom. And self-denial requires some fasting and some prayer. Self-denial means not choosing who you're going to speak to on a Sunday morning. Self-denial, you won't just walk by folk and sneer at them and jeer at them, but you'll hug them and give them a handshake, although they may get on your nerves every once in a while. Self-denial means generous giving back to God and not tipping God. Self-denial means loving people that don't love you back. Self-denial means keeping some opinions to yourself, keeping some shut mouth grace. Self-denial. Self-denial, it means denouncing yourself as the center of the existence of your world, that it's all about me. No, it's not. That it's all about your relationship with Jesus Christ. And sometimes we have to deny ourselves of certain things. Delayed gratification. Total self-denial means giving in to God. Giving in to him. Surrendering to him. Y'all, some time ago, I had a pinched nerve in my shoulder. So I was having some real pain. I could hardly lift my arm. Y'all, I had some numbness. A lot was going on. And so I went to see a specialist. And so when I saw the physical therapist, yeah, he had me reach out my arm, y'all, and he took me by my arm and said, just give me your arm. Just let go. Give me your arm. And I'm thinking, okay, he's getting ready to take my arm and do something. It's going to cause me some pain. And so we're going to have a misunderstanding. And so I'm laying back on the table. He takes my arm. And he kept saying, give me your arm. I said, I am giving you my arm, man. What do you want? He said, no, you're not. That you're not giving in. That you're not totally surrendered. You fight me. You're fighting me. And when it comes to self-denial, that's what with God sometimes. God says, you're fighting me. You're not giving in. You're not totally surrendered. You haven't given up some stuff that I've asked you some. You keep doing some stuff. You're not giving up on some stuff. Because stop fighting God. Surrender to God. Total self-denial. I give up everything for you, God. Whatever you want me to give up, God, I'll give it up. I'll give it up for you, oh God. Lord, give me you. Everything else can wait. Lord, give me you. I hope it's not too late. Total self-denial. Life with God, y'all, it's not a game. That the stakes are high. That it's about eternal consequences. It's about where you will spend the rest of your life. Make no mistake about it, God is real, but the devil is too. That heaven is real, but hell is too. And so you need to know that you know that you know where you will spend eternity. And you cannot play, we cannot play with God. So it requires total self-denial, but it also requires tremendous self-sacrifice. Listen, Jesus said, you must take up your cross. Y'all, this phrase has been misunderstood by a whole lot of folk in the church today. What it means to take up your cross. That sometimes we think it's about some burden I got to bear. Don't look around, look at me, look at me, look at me, look at me, look at me. Don't look at nobody else. It's about the person that gets on my nerve, that's, Lord Jesus, that's the cross I got to bear. It's, you know, it's about some physical malady, something I got to deal with in my life, that's the burden I got to bear. It's about some strained relationship, some I got to go to that job tomorrow. I don't want to go. That's the burden. That's not what the Bible is talking. That's not what Jesus said. He says, take up your cross and follow me. When a person carried a cross in Jesus' day, no one thought that it was some type of persistent annoyance, that it was just some symbol or some burden that they had to bear in their lives. To a person in the first century, the cross meant one thing and one thing only. It meant death by crucifixion. To carry your cross means painful, and humiliating death. That we're willing to give up everything for the cause of Christ. 2,000 years later, Christians look at the cross, y'all. I got one on my neck right here. Ain't it pretty? It's a cross. That is, you know, we use it to glorify God and all of that. But make no mistake about it, y'all. The cross was a tool used by the Romans to torture people. To kill them. To humiliate them. And I wonder today, how much are we willing to give up for the cause of Christ and for the cross? How much are we willing to suffer? How much are we willing to be humiliated? Y'all, some of us, y'all, we run across folk like in the grocery store. They upset us, y'all, and we ready to go off and cuss folk out. But how many of us are willing to really give up to live a life of pain for the cause of Christ. For real, though. Don't fool me. In 2 Timothy chapter 4, 2 Timothy chapter 2, verses 4 through 8, Paul says this: "As for me, my life has already been poured out as an offering to God. The time of my death is near. I have fought the good fight. I have finished the race. I have remained faithful. And now the prize awaits me, the crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will give me on the day of his return." That's the picture, y'all, of tremendous self-sacrifice. One that's willing to give up their whole lives for the cause of the kingdom and for the cause of Christ. I was talking to somebody the other day, and they're the godparents of two little boys in the community. And one of the little boys wanted one of those motor scooters, the bicycles. Y'all seen them today? It's got the big tire on it, but it's got a motor on it. I mean, these things, it looks like a bicycle, but it's got a motor on it. They can move real fast. And he wanted one. And so his godfather said to him, "Listen, you come over here and you rake some leaves and stuff, you know, you earn some money." So back in our day, that's how you made money. That our parents didn't hand us everything. So I ain't talking about, no, I'm just saying what I'm saying, you know. So some of y'all know that too, young people. They didn't hand us everything. And so he said to him, "I want you to rake up, you know, you rake some leaves, you know, I'm going to give you a little money, and, you know, you save up your money, and you can go ahead and get this nice motorbike. You can get this bicycle with the motor on it." Did it one time. Came back to Godfather, said, "Godfather, this little money you gave me, can you keep this and give me the motorbike?" Understand what he was saying. I want the gift. I want the blessing. But I don't want the pain. There's a whole lot of us, y'all, that we want the crown.
Come on.
That we want the blessing. But we don't want to do what it takes to get the, we don't want to be crucified. We don't want the cross. A whole lot of Christians don't want the cross, but you want the crown. You want the blessings, but you don't want to go through what it has to go through to get the blessing that God wants to give you. Y'all, that there must be tremendous self-sacrifice, giving up some stuff for the cause of the kingdom. Are you ready to take up your cross and follow Jesus? Are you willing to follow Jesus if it means giving up your closest friend? What if it alienates you from one of your family members? What if following Jesus means losing your reputation? What if following Jesus means losing your job? Well, young people, what if following Jesus means when you go to school, there's some people, they don't want to hang around you anymore because you're talking too much about Jesus. You're talking too much about your relationship with him. They don't want to hear all of that stuff. It will cause you tremendous sacrifice when you truly live for the Lord. Are you willing to follow Jesus even if it means losing your life? And that sounds far-fetched to us today in America. It makes no sense in America. Why would I have to lose my life? I live in America, land of the free, home of the brave. But do you not know that today, as I'm speaking right now, there are people in China. There are people in Iraq. There are people in parts of Nigeria. There are people in parts of remote parts of this world that they're giving up their lives. They're dying for the cause of Christ.
Yes.
Because they named the name of Jesus.
Yeah.
That's right. I wonder sometimes if we were dropped into a setting like that, where we were heavily persecuted, where we'd be like Peter was, "Jesus who?" We're talking about who? But are we willing to deal with tremendous self-sacrifice? What are you willing to give up for the cause of Christ? Are you willing to give up some creature comforts? Are you willing to give up some addictions and some habits? Are you willing to obey what God says in his word? Or do you say, "Listen, okay, I like what this says over here. Tear that part out because I ain't doing that, God." Do you not know that when you sin against God and you know you're sinning against God, it's an affront to God? That God would say, "Don't come into the house of God. Don't come into worship and throw up your hands and you ain't giving up some stuff I told you to give up." That becomes an affront to God. That God requires obedience, and following him requires obedience and self-denial and tremendous self-sacrifice. This ain't no game. The devil is playing for keeps, y'all. And we need to know that. I'm almost done, y'all. Y'all get the shouts on later for the game, okay? Listen, the stakes are high. We have to be willing to deny ourselves, to take up our cross and follow Jesus as his disciples. The reward is well worth it, y'all. It's well worth the reward. The price is high, but it's well worth it. Life with God is not a game. And finally, y'all, it requires this: tenaciously sticking close to the Savior. So when Jesus says, follow me, he's calling us as his people to surrender our lives and our desires again to him. And instead, submit to his guidance. Submit to the guidance of the Holy Spirit that dwells on the inside of us. To follow Christ means to imitate Christ and his teachings and his character and the way he walked. To walk in his footsteps. To love the way he loved. To serve the way he served. The Greek word for come after me, to follow me, means to come to the point of being with him. In Acts chapter 4, we find the story of Peter and John. They were preaching the gospel of Jesus Christ. They were preaching so hard that folk were coming to the Lord, that they were getting saved. And of course, the religious leaders of the day, they didn't like it because they were raining on their parade. They didn't like it. So they called the elders and the chief priests together and the uppity ups, and they had them thrown into prison. They had to go before the council of the day, and the council, people from the council looked at Peter and John and said, wait a minute, them just some common old fishermen folk. Who are they? But one thing they knew about them, the text says that they had been with Jesus. That they had walked so closely with Jesus, that they lived with Jesus, that they handled Jesus, that they knew Jesus. They walked so closely with Jesus that there's something about Jesus rubbed off on them. And the then known world could know that they were God's people, that they were Jesus' people, y'all. Listen to me. I love what was the Super Bowl 2021. I think 2021. Yeah, when there was a commercial, y'all, it was a Cheetos commercial. 2021. Is that when the Chiefs got beat by the Buccaneers? Something like that. They got beat up bad by the Buccaneers, like 7-31 or something like that. That may have been something like that. Super Bowl 2021. I don't know. Maybe something like that. But anyway, y'all. So any of y'all remember that Cheetos commercial where the guy looking for his Cheetos, and the girlfriend is in the house, and so he's asking, have you seen my Cheetos? And that song by Shaggy, it wasn't me, you know. And so she starts saying, it wasn't me. But the problem was, she was eating the Cheetos, and the evidence, y'all, it was all over her fingers. That she had some of that orange Cheeto dust all over. It wasn't me. But she had the dust. She had the evidence on her fingers that she had come in contact, y'all, with the Cheetos, and the Cheeto dust was all over her fingers. Listen, if we serve God and walk so close, there ought to be some Jesus dust on us, y'all. We ought to have some Jesus dust on us. We ought to have the residue and the smell of Jesus on us. So when people see us, they will know that we have been with Jesus. That we walk so closely to him that people see Jesus all over us. Do you have some Jesus dust on you today? Jesus wants us to follow him, which means we have to lose our life to this world to gain eternal life. That's what he says in the text. But if you give up your life for my sake and for the gospel's sake, you will save it. What benefit does it do you to gain all this stuff in the world, to get success and fame and titles and have big bank and all of that, but you lose your soul in hell? What is your soul worth? Are you willing to play with it? Is this just a game to you? I'm sure you didn't show up this morning just to play with God. That you came here to worship. Yes. You came here to do damage to hell. You came here to praise God and to magnify him and to lift him up. This is not, it's not a game. And so we have to practice self-denial and self-sacrifice and sticking close to the Lord. Come here for a minute, Cam. Come here. Sticking close to the Lord. Come on up on stage for a minute. Y'all see, this be Cam right here. Cam, how old are you?
18.
18 years old, Lord. Y'all, I had a friend, y'all. We grew up in our neighborhood. His name was Steve. Steve Smith. Steve Smith was a big guy. He just came out. His mama womb was a big guy. He came out swole, y'all. Big Steve was good at athletics. He could play basketball, football, baseball. He could do it all. He just had the gift of athletics, y'all. And we would go up to the school, y'all, and we play football. And I was always glad when I was on Steve Smith's side. And they would hand me the football, y'all. And when they hand me the football, turn that way. And they hand me the football. Who did I want in front of me as I try to make it down the field? I wanted Big Steve Smith in front of me, y'all. That's not the way I be with Jesus, y'all. That I decide to follow Jesus. And as I'm moving down the field of life, y'all, I'm following Jesus, y'all. He can run over some stuff, y'all. He can trample some stuff. I want Jesus. Turn around again. I have decided to follow Jesus. No turning back. No turning back. I want Jesus in front of me, leading me and guiding me all the way. I want nobody but Jesus. Nobody but Jesus. Nobody but Jesus. Have you decided to follow Jesus? No turning back. No turning back. This is not a game, y'all. This is serious. But let Jesus lead you and guide you all the way. Thank you, Cam. God bless you. Amen. Amen. Not a game, y'all. Not a game. Not a game. The enemy is playing for keeps, y'all. Look around you. Who's not here today? Are they not here because they just decided not to be here today? Or are they not here because life hasn't been life in form? And maybe they've given up hope. Maybe they're tired of trying. Who have you reached out to as of late just to see where they are? Because the enemy is playing for keeps, y'all. He's trying to take you out. Plumb out of the game, and it's not a game. That he wants your life. That he does not want you to have a relationship with Jesus Christ. That maybe he's telling you that God is not real, that Jesus is not real. If he was so real, why am I going through what I'm going through? But don't be mistaken. Just because you go through what you go through doesn't mean that God is not real. As a matter of fact, when you go through what you go through, you need to cling to him, follow him, hold on to his unchanging hand. So at the end of the day, I'll say it again, the stakes are high. Where will you spend eternity? It's not a game. To God be the glory. Hallelujah. Oh God, we thank you for your word today. Thank you for the privilege, oh God, of serving you. God, thank you for your grace. God, for the many times I look back over my life, the truth be told, I was playing with you. God, I wanted my way. And I said I wanted your way too. And you told me I could not have both ways. But I continued to walk in my way. And God, you could have taken me out, but you left me here long enough to get it right and to follow you. And so now, God, I serve you with all of my heart because you have been good to me. You've extended your hand of grace and mercy to me and to us, and you saved us, oh God. And that's why we're so committed to you, committed to your word, committed to Jesus, committed to serving, committed to evangelizing, committed to telling a dying world about a living Savior because you've been so good to us. So God, we are grateful. And God, for all those that under the sound of my voice right now, I pray that you speak to them by the power of your Holy Spirit, that we would examine ourselves to see if we are of the faith. that the totality of what we believe is found in this Bible, is what we live by, the totality of our faith, God, that we don't tear out some parts of your word, God, from the Bible. Say, I'm not going to do that, but I'll do this. But God, I'll follow you with my whole heart. That I deny myself, I pick up my cross, and I follow you, no matter how painful it might be. And God, we thank you and we praise you. And now, Father, by the power of your Holy Spirit, draw them only as you can. Pray, oh God, that your word finds its target in our hearts this morning. And if by chance we don't have a relationship with Jesus, that today we'll receive that relationship. We admit that we've all sinned and fallen short of your glory. We repent, we turn from our sins, and we turn to Jesus. We believe, God, in our hearts that you raised Jesus from the dead. We confess him with our mouths in this moment. And from this moment on, we're determined to follow Jesus. This is our prayer in Jesus' name. Amen. Praise God. Hallelujah. So again, maybe there's someone here today. Listen, you've heard this message and you've heard me talk about this Jesus, this Savior, this Messiah, this anointed one. You say, I want to know more. I want to know more about him. Perhaps you are a born again believer, already saved, but you're not connected to a local fellowship somewhere where you can get the true word of God, where you can connect with other believers, that you can fellowship with other believers, that you can be a part of a church family. Then I want to invite you today. If you tuned in today to our online ministry, and perhaps you're wondering, how can I do that today? There is a new member form that's online right now. You can take that form, you can fill it out, and I promise you on this coming week, one of our new member ministry advisors will get with you and we'll welcome you. We'll welcome you, amen, with open arms.
You've just heard Pastor Kevin Love of Living Faith Community Church, located at 1111 Tally Road in San Antonio, Texas. You're welcome to join us for Sunday worship service at 9 a.m. and Wednesday night Bible study via Zoom at 7 p.m. Living Faith Community Church, where we're connecting real life to a real faith.